We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We've changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 22nd day of August, 2023. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have our producer on the board ready to roll is none other than Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And way out yonder, that legendary preacher, Joe Larson.
Good evening. Pleasure to be back with you.
And we have a lot, but, you know, I just got a call here, Joe, and it was very, very hard to understand. It's on voicemail, but I finally, after playing it several times, I realize it's Coach Ed Stacy, a coach we haven't seen for a long time. He would always attend our Thursday morning men's prayer breakfast, and when I pastored the church out in Cortland, he was a member of the church there in Cortland, and many times he came up to the other one in Newberry too. But I could just barely get what he said. He had a stroke, and he was just above whisper, and he's at the Evan Shaw, and I believe it's a nursing home, Evan Shaw Nursing Home in Akron, and he's asking for our prayers. So we're going to ask you folks out there all over the country to pray with us on this, because Ed really needs your prayers right now. And so let's pray for Coach Ed. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know all the details. All I know is what I could garner off that phone call, Lord. And so we want to hold Coach Ed up to you right now and just ask Father God, Lord, that you would touch him. He's not that old, Lord. He's not that old. And that you would touch him, that he might receive a healing, Father God. And Lord, that you might use him in a mighty, mighty way right until the time you do take him home. And Lord, that maybe some of the folks out there in the Akron area might go over. Some of our people, we have a number of people there in the Akron area that might go over to the Evan Shaw, and I believe that's right. It was very hard to understand, but it sounded like he said Evan Shaw Nursing Home. And so, folks, if some of our people are out there, could go over and visit and with Coach Ed tomorrow, it would be really great. Alrighty, with that, Joe, boy, do we have a whole lot to get to tonight. So, we are going to take a look, starting over in Genesis 18. Now, we're going to look at a sanctuary city. Joe, do you think sanctuary cities are the very same thing as cities of refuge? Because we hear people say, well, sanctuary cities are in the Bible. They're the same as cities of refuge. But are they really? Oh, the sanctuary cities in the Bible, all right.
Yeah, but it's a little different from what the liberals have made. Yeah,
it's a lot different. It's the total opposition. Okay,
exactly. The Antichrist system is diametrically opposed to the gospel.
So we take a look at sanctuary cities today, like Lot's son-in-laws, Joe, the people of San Francisco, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Philly, D.C., Miami, Hollywood, et cetera.
We could go on, yeah.
They all scoffed. Lot's son-in-laws scoffed. They scoffed at God's warning. You know, they were told, listen, judgment has come, is here. You better get out of this, get out of this city. It's going to burn. And they laughed, right? Well, I think you're going to see the very same thing will happen to all of those cities. And I would not be surprised if we saw it in the near future. In sanctuary cities, Joe, in America, they protect sex traffickers. They protect drug dealers. They protect rioters and looters, and terrorists, burn, loot, and murder, Antifa, election fraud. If it's a crime and if it's a sin, they go there. You can pretty much, if you decide that you want to make a career a crime, maybe you want to be a rioter, a looter, or a sex trafficker, you can pretty much go to Chicago and know that you're probably not going to get arrested, but if you do get arrested, you won't get prosecuted because that city is it's a haven for criminals, is it not?
And criminals and all the dregs of society. Well, cities tend to draw the undesirables because they can congregate in larger groups than they can in small towns. And anytime you have a break in the rule of law or you legalize or you ignore something, you're going to get a lot more trouble, a lot more violence, a lot more crime. It's story of history.
Okay, can you give me one major city that's run by a Democrat, whether it be D.C., which is a district of crime, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Detroit? Can you give me one major city that's not filled with crime and rats, that don't have infiltration of rats in them?
Well, I don't know about the rats, but I can't name one Democrat-run city that I would recommend to anyone to live.
Well, there's one. Dallas, Texas. Believe it or not, they got a Democrat mayor who is totally different than the rest. He is tough on crime.
He must be an old blue dog then.
I don't know. Maybe he don't know he's a Democrat. I don't know.
Yeah, he may not understand what that means, but he's not one of the new Democrats. I know that. Not one of the far left liberals.
So let's take a look at a Democrat-run city. And this is the first of the sanctuary cities. And we start there in Genesis chapter 18 and starting with verse 16. So why don't you read verse 16 through 21?
Okay. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because of their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know.
Okay, so verse 19, Joe, he says, for I know that he will command his children and his household after him that they should keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which is spoken of him. So this is the very first reference, Joe, in the Bible to teaching the children to be obedient to the Lord. And then in verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Now, do you know what that word grievous means? It's offensive.
I think it's the first time it's been used in the Bible, and I'm trying to remember.
Very offensive. It's very offensive to God. That's very, very offensive to God. And so, what is he telling you there? He's telling you that God had reached his limit, okay, with his righteous indignation, didn't he?
It pretty much sounds like he's had it.
Okay. So in verse 22, pick it up with verse 22 and read it all the way through 33.
And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes.
Okay, stop there, Joe. If I was to say, okay, Joe Larson, I want you to go to the United States Congress, over 450 people, and find me 50 righteous men. Do you think you could do it, Joe?
I think it could be kind of rough.
I think you'd have a pretty rough time, Joe.
I might find a dozen.
Well, if I was to send you to the U.S. Senate and say, can you find me 5 righteous men, what would
that
you say?
That could be rough. that could be harder.
Okay, if I was to send you to all the so-called mainstream, the thousands of media whores out there in the mainstream media, and said, Joe, go in there and find me 50 righteous people out of the thousands, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, what do you think? Do you think you could find 50?
I tell you, I couldn't do. I would know ahead of time I couldn't find 50. If the way from what I've seen, the things I've heard out of their mouths, there's no sense even looking for 50.
Okay, what about if I was to send you to Hollywood? And in all of Hollywood?
There are a few out there, but they have been, punished for being Christian conservatives, but they're a handful.
Okay. So in all of the Democratic Party leadership, all of them, okay, do you think you could find out of all of it 50 righteous people?
Otherwise, they wouldn't be a Democrat.
Okay. You're right. All right. So now, is Abraham...
I imagine, to me, when I heard that, shall not the judge of the earth do right, I would tremble before I would ever say something like that to God. I don't think I would have the nerve. He's talking to this angel of the Lord. He's talking to the pre-incarnate Christ. And he calls him Lord because he is. But at the same time, this is a Christophany. This is Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, as this man appearing there to Abraham at his in the plains there at the tent door.
So let me ask you this. How did Lot and all of his people, Lot brought thousands and thousands of people, how did they end up there in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Well, they were in the plains there, kind of like where they were having the Tower of Babel, right?
Well,
some of them must have stayed right there in that area, Lot and his ilk, and built them a smaller city.
Do you remember what happened after Abraham says, you go to the right and I'll go to the left, or vice versa?
Right, and he let Lot choose the best land.
So Lot looked, he and his people headed towards the city of Sodom. Now,
right.
What happened along the way? Along the way, they ran into some people called the Amorites, remember?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so now, here, Abraham and his people showed up and set them free because they were literally taken captive by the Amorites and turned into slavery. But Abraham come along and set them free.
Right, freedom.
But now, Abraham, now, when that happened, they heard the testimony of Melchizedek, Joe, and of Abraham. God gave them through. First, Abraham preached to them, and then they heard the testimony of Melchizedek. And Lot was a witness. Lot was a witness of that. Okay, himself. So who in the world was Melchizedek, Joe?
He was a high priest.
He was a high priest, and he had no beginning and no end. He had no father and mother. Now, there's only one high priest that Abraham tithed to that had no beginning and no end.
That would have to be the same as the angel of the Lord that appeared there.
It was the Lord Jesus himself.
Jesus has to be the same.
Yep. And so now they heard the testimony of these people, and yet Lot dwelt in the city, and he set in the gate of the city. So starting in verse 19, because you see, Abraham, well, I'm going to tell you, that took a lot of guts to do what Abraham did. He dickered with the Lord. God must have really loved Abraham and Sarah, because just prior to this, Sarah lied. She lied to the Lord, to his face, and then she denied it, that she lied. Okay, and God said, "Yes, but you did." Remember when the Lord told Abraham, "Sarah's gonna, she's gonna."
See, you know, I can understand though. Sarah, being human, laughed. The words were laughed within herself. She was laughing inside, and the human Sarah, nobody could tell. Nobody could know I'm laughing inside, but God knew. I don't know that for sure that she recognized that this was God she was talking to at first. It's possible that she didn't catch on as quick as Abraham, who was there.
If she knew that it was the Lord, do you think she would have lied? I don't think so, Joe.
I think I might have been a little more hesitant to even talk.
Yeah. And so here now, Abraham, he's dickering. He's dickering with the Lord.
Yes, he is.
Okay,
all
you know,
the way down through.
Okay, but you know, how this is how this is supposed to work. The Lord tells you to do something, and you do it. You say, yes, Lord. Okay, yes, Lord. Okay. But you don't try to dicker. Now, Abraham, obviously, see, now the Lord could have said, Abraham, you apparently don't think I'm a just God. If you're so worried about it.
I could have rebuked him real strongly right there.
Yeah. All right, now go ahead and start there at verse 1 of 19.
Okay, you don't want me to finish.
No, we don't have much time.
Okay. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gates of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat.
Okay, now, Joe, let's stop right there. Now, let me ask you this, okay? The custom in the Mideast the Middle East at that time was to show hospitality. If people came, why was such a custom? What was it that they believed, that you and I believe today, that made it very necessary for them to show a great hospitality?
A lot of the people were poor when they traveled, and it was dangerous land, and it was just part of taking care of your own kind. That was helping one another.
That's true, but the answer is really found in Hebrews 13 when he says, beware lest you be entertaining angels unaware.
Angels unaware, but wasn't some of it just helping those of your kind?
Yeah, that was a custom.
In a violent world?
That was a custom, because if you did not do that, then if you let some evil befall a people while they were under your roof, then you've lost your reputation. You were ruined. Okay,
yeah.
So now when these fellows said to Lot, now first of all, Lot sat in the gate of the city. So what does that mean, that Lot sat in the gate?
He was there in the commerce place where you first walk in through the gates, the center of commerce.
He was the mayor. He was the mayor,
yeah,
of Sodom.
Well,
now, and so here now, how do you think he got to be mayor of Sodom?
It's a question I've actually wondered. He was either a good politician or a good...
what about this? When he went into...
Allow different things to make the people happy.
When he went into Sodom, who did he bring with him? You know, about 500,000 people. So
yeah, he brought in a lot of people.
He probably won that election, hands down, didn't he?
I hadn't thought about it that way. I figured maybe it was just he was a very liberal mayor, and people like that.
Kind of like
the ones in D.C. and San Francisco, the very liberals get elected.
Actually, he wasn't really liberal. He just was not real bold. See, in this case here, if he'd been liberal, he would have said, well, that's a wonderful thing for those men to be sodomized in the streets, because that's what liberals do. They like sodomy. But here, he understood what would happen to those two men if he left them in the streets. And so, go ahead and pick it up in verse 4.
But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter.
Okay, so you hear what that says? All the people in the city.
All the people from every quarter, yeah.
Okay, I mean, that was the entire Democratic Party of that day, huh?
Yes, that would have been an awful lot of people, though. It would have been a huge, huge crowd, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, go ahead, because now it's the LGBT is speaking. Go ahead.
And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whosoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it.
You know, Joe, we have to stop right there. Let's pick it up. We'll go back and pick it up tomorrow where we left off here, and we'll pick it up in verse 8. Remember verse 8, and then we'll pick it up there tomorrow, and we'll be back right after this.
Well, there's people on the left and people on the right, and there's people that's in between. You better hope you're right when you leave this life and bow before the King of Kings. Bow before the King of Kings.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song, but on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
You say no one murdered more than Hitler did. Most people would say that's true. But over 50 million babies that were never born might disagree with you. Yeah, they might disagree with you.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. We got a right to feel the way we feel. We got a right to make a stand. And I'm proud to say on my wedding day that my woman was not a man, a great big ugly man. Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. Thank God I'm saved on Judgment Day. I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
All right, I'd rather be right than wrong, and we are right because we hold right to the Word of God. Boy, and if you hold to the Word of God, you can't go wrong. You can't. Anyhow, that was, that song there was by, we'll start with Julie Danner, and then the very famous Danny Ray, and yours truly, old Pastor Ernie. So, I'd rather be right than wrong. And so, a lot of people thought that in the beginning, that was Johnny Cash, but it wasn't, folks. that was me. That was really me. Okay. Anyhow, special counsel appointed to investigate Hunter Biden worked hand in glove with Brother Bo for years and years. The connection between Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss and the Biden crime family runs far deeper than Weiss' investigation of President Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Boy, I've got to tell you, you talk about, they must really think we're stupid. I mean, such corruption. The Justice Department is a special counsel in the case. All of this has triggered a renewed focus on his earlier career. That's right, Washington Post reported Sunday that in 2010, Weiss was the acting U.S. attorney for Delaware and worked closely with Bo Biden, Delaware's Attorney General, and Joe Biden's eldest son on major prosecutions. The report said that during Weiss's time with the U.S. Attorney Office, it and the State Attorney General's Office, which was headed by Bo Biden from 2007 through the 14th, they worked together. There you go. I mean, now, if there has been any kind of integrity, what do you think Weiss would have done? He would have reclused himself and said, you know, I can't do this.
Of course. But then you said it, if there was any integrity, we already know the man has no integrity.
The Biden...
You're judged by the actions, right? What the scripture said, you look at the fruit, look at their actions, and he's proven he has no integrity. So we already know that.
Absolutely no integrity. I mean, I just could not believe. I mean, here, you know, what a horrible, horrible thing that happened there in Maui. And of course, that was false flag stuff, too. It wasn't nothing like what the fake news media is reporting, folks. That was an operation there. Those people were murdered. And, you know, it all had to do with the rich and famous being able to get what they want. But I have, and now this is just my opinion. I don't have any documentation to prove this other than this is my opinion. Some of the weaponry and the very location there in Maui, especially with those high energy microwave weapons that were there that could take out hundreds of drones at one time, I got a feeling that Biden's employer, the Joe Biden's employer, China, Red China, was behind doing what happened there in Maui. And working hand in hand with, well, should I say, our pedophile in chief, Joe Biden. And I'm not being disrespectful by saying that. What I'm doing is I'm telling the truth according to his own daughter. And so that's my opinion, Joe. My opinion is that, and I think it's a good one, that could be the ones that actually who really took out Maui. If you watched the film, that burned in a perfect circle around, and if you watched in the film where all of the mansions, Oprah's mansion, and Bill Gates's mansion, and Zuckerberg's mansion, and Will Smith's mansion, all of these rich and famous Madonnas, how the fires burnt all around there. And then, Joe, it's an interesting thing how...
And the big five-star hotels. Isn't it interesting not one of the five-star hotels caught fire?
Well, they couldn't. They were filled with FEMA people getting it. Yeah, spending the nights and with rooms anywhere from 1,000 to 4,000 nights a room.
Well, the FEMA people didn't come till after, you know, it was safe to get there. They weren't there during the fire, but... You made a point there. They're staying there. There's about five hotels that FEMA officials are staying at. These $1,000 a night luxury hotels with fancy pools and bars. And there's a story out how they're located about 45 minutes away from the fire ravaged town of there. And it's interesting.
Maui.
There are a lot of just, you know, normal priced hotels that are a lot closer to the damaged area. But that's not where FEMA is staying. They're staying at the ones that are far away. And the interesting thing was $1,000 a night for these rooms, and yet what did Biden do? He offered a $700 one-time payment to help the survivors that lost everything get clothing, food, and transportation somewhere. Why didn't, you know, they are opening hotels for all the illegal immigrants in New York City and San Francisco and all over the country. But why didn't FEMA come in and take all these motels and hotels that are on the island?
I'll tell you why, Joe. I'll tell you why.
House the homeless people from the fire.
I'll tell you why. If you take a look at the cruelty in the treatment of the people, Joe, has satanic, demonic overtones. And here, now remember, we saw this same thing. Look, first of all, they cut the water off. When the fires, the department were trying to put the water, the fires out, they cut the water supply. This is a show of, look what we can do, the cruelty within that party. Here, they didn't sound any alarms. They never sounded the alarms, okay, for when the fire started.
And now here, the locals are complaining that FEMA has blocked volunteers from delivering aid into the disaster area. Yeah. That's according to the London Daily Mail. 22 August. It's a story that they're accusing FEMA today that their volunteers have blocked aid into the disaster area.
Well, Joe, we played a clip yesterday, and in that you had people there in Maui said, we're standing right here, and they will not give us, FEMA will not, here, oh, here's the food, here's the medical supply, here's the clothes, here's the tents. FEMA won't let us have it. They will not give it to us. So you see this kind of cruelty. Where did we see this kind of satanic overtones before? Could it possibly be at Ruby Ridge when they tried to burn out Randy Weaver and his family alive? Could it be at Waco?
Waco, Texas.
Where they did? What about at January 6th? The false flag where you had very, very dirty cops. I mean, very, very dirty cops. You had this false flag, and guess what, Joe? There's a movie coming out here soon, and it's a video, and it's going to be. It's called. Let me see. Here, I've got it right here. One last one. No, that's the wrong video. We're going to play a clip here in a video in just a little while in the second hour. And it's called Let My People Go. Let My People Now. This is just a small clip of a movie that's coming out in October. And they're going to be exposing a whole lot of what took place there. This is a movie that's put out by, let me see. Let me just read you a clip. The documentary Let My People Go will be released in early October. A must-see, one of the surprises to come out of Mike Lindell's Election Crime Bureau event last week was an extended trailer for the upcoming documentary, Let My People Go. Remember how the courts tried to stop 2,000 mules? How they tried to, but we had managed to send out hundreds and hundreds of 2,000 mules, but the Communist Party, with the very, very corrupt courts, tried to stop it. Now, the trailer delivers an indication of what is to come. The film may just prove to be the most definitive breakdown of not only how the rigged 2020 election was pulled off, but the human costs associated with the J6 prisoners and investigators that dared challenge the corrupt government-approved narrative. And so, anyhow, we're going to play just a small clip, and this is coming out.
I've got to add a story to that. The big story out to me of the day, mystery January 6th fence cutter, one of the nation's largest legal booby traps. This is from World News Daily, WND.com, and they've got a screenshot, a video of a man calmly cutting down fences outside the Capitol on January 6th. This new video was uncovered by Revolver News and adds to the evidence that there were federal agents there and that this was all a big setup. Now, you know there's been about 1,000 people arrested and charged with offenses, and one of the big ones is trespass. They see they put up these fences and barriers, and when they did this, that by putting those up, that means it's a restricted zone. You see, normally the grounds surrounding the Capitol are not restricted, but when they put up police barriers and fencing, then that means if you go into those areas, you can be charged with a crime of trespass. But here we have this man, and they're referring to him as Fence Cutter Bulwark, and he's coolly and methodically cutting down the fence, rolling it up, this restricted fence area fencing around the Capitol lawn. He had no Trump gear. He had big, dark glasses on, sunglasses on a cloudy day. He was calm, professional. You know, he wasn't participating. Now, this was all done while Trump was still speaking. The crowds had not left and headed for the Capitol grounds. All this was done before Trump was done. The fencing was removed, so when the people came, the barrier fence was gone. Now, you notice January 6th never told anything about the barrier fences that they were, this was a restricted area, people were trespassing, even if you didn't go into the Capitol, you were guilty of trespass. No, because the barrier fences had been removed, folks. And guess what? The FBI is not even looking for this guy. January 6th people aren't looking for this guy.
They don't have to look for him. They know where he is, and they know who he is.
He's FBI headquarters, probably. He's not on the wanted list. There's no reward leading for information about him. And, it just goes on and on. This thing gets so bad. This has been totally ignored. The Proud Boys, you remember that they said were the instigators and everything. They were eating lunch about a mile away when this guy took down the fences. And if you want to see what he looks like, you can go to worldnewsdaily.com. And the story is Mystery January 6th Fence Cutter. And you can see his face. And I'm just hoping somebody goes and looks and can recognize this guy. He put a big do-rag around his head, so he's got it all covered in big sunglasses. But still, if somebody knew him, he could be recognizable. They've got good, clear footage of him.
All right, Joe.
So there's your government, folks. That's why we love our country, but we sure as the world do not trust our government.
When I talk about Joe Biden being a pedophile in chief, and again, that's not being disrespectful. That is being the factual, very factual. And remember, Joe, going all the way back over 2 years ago, we even knew before he got into his first day in the White House that he was going to get the border open and he was going to have a total influx of illegals, communist nationals, or Chinese nationals, and they were going to supply enough fentanyl through the drug cartels and enough little innocent children for the entire Democratic Party, which is flush with pedophiles. The leadership is flush with pedophiles. Now, here's an article, and this is an article by David Kupelian, and here it's in World News Daily, an exclusive. Latest actions prove government remains middleman in a large-scale, multi-billion-dollar child trafficking operation. Excuse me. They found on Hunter's laptop the fact that Hunter was involved with the child smuggling operations too. The Biden regime policy of intentionally engineering a full-scale foreign invasion of America across her southern border, which in turn has facilitated what a key federal whistleblower calls a large-scale, multi-billion-dollar child trafficking operation with the U.S. government as the middleman, is most evil, most normal people would agree. You know? But you see, they're going to listen to, because the mainstream media that's been betraying them and lying to them and dumbing them, really dumbing the population down for years. This mega crisis resulted in the passage of the Republican-led legislation last month to slow down the endless ways of exploited humans illegally. Here, entering the U.S. by extending Donald Trump's border wall, But as everyone now knows, to sabotage the legislation, Biden has been essentially thrown away $300 million worth of taxpayer-funded border wall components by auctioning them off for next to nothing, 2 cents on the dollar, this wicked commander and pedophile, just to make sure that the wall is never built and that the alien invasion continues, including the cartel-financed sex trafficking of countless young children, continues. Again, all of this is evil to the core. There is really no other way to describe it. But it is much the same with every other issue today. Americans are living through a time of total spiritual warfare, where virtually all of the most contentious, consequential issues facing them are neither political nor ideological or psychological at core. They're spiritual. Good versus evil. Truth versus deception. Freedom versus slavery. Life versus death. And Joe, that's what I'm going to be preaching on, unless the Lord should change it this week. You keep hearing, why is God allowing this? Why is God allowing this? Well, there's a number of reasons. But the opposition, like they're like the son-in-laws that mocked, that those that mocked in Sodom and Gomorrah, well, they're not mocking now. And
no.
The people.
2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world, that's little g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So in other words, Satan has blinded the minds of them that do not believe in Christ, that Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, and they're blinded from seeing the truth. And they, Scripture also says, deceiving and deceiving themselves. To deceive others truly well, you must go out and be able to deceive first yourself. So that's the answer. They have deceived themselves, and their eyes and their heart have been blinded by Satan to the evil. They think they're doing something, you know, that's all right because their God has told them.
Trump confirms this Thursday to surrender in Georgia, case over 2020 election. Former President Donald Trump confirmed on Monday that he will be surrendering to authorities at the Fulton County Jail in Georgia on Thursday, August 24th, over the charges he faces for contesting the state's 2020 election result. Joe, did you know, Joe, that before Trump was indicted for challenging stolen elections, the Democratic Communist Party, the Communist Democratic Party, denied election results, starting with Hillary, more than 150 times. More than 150 times they did what they're charging Donald Trump with. And that fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, the traitorous, treacherous, PMS, NBC, they know that, and they just carried on the lies. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, that just infuriates me.
A special place in hell for those people.
A special hot place in hell for those people. You're right. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't find five righteous people in all of them. The only people that worked at NBC, ABC, CBS, those that they couldn't take it, that told the truth, they had to leave. They had to get out of there. And they got fired. If they told the truth, they'd be fired, okay?
Well, we've seen that. A couple of the people that tried to do something did lose their jobs. We've seen the left fire people who didn't stick to the agenda. A couple of them have actually become, you know, working for more conservative outlets because they wanted to tell at least some truth, and so we've already seen proof of that.
Well, here's the article from the Epic Times by Catherine Yang, and here's what she writes. Well, this is quoting Trump. Can you believe it? I'll be going to Atlanta, Georgia on Thursday to be arrested by a radical left district attorney, Fannie Willis. She is one of... She is one of George Soros' whores, isn't she? Bought and paid for. Bought and paid for there. Who is overseeing one of the greatest murder and violent crime disasters in American history. Jeez! Oh, my gosh, yes. Here, he wrote in True Social, in this case, the trip to Atlanta is not for murder, but for making a perfect phone call. She campaigned and is continuing to campaign and raise money on this witch hunt. This is the district coordination with crooked Joe Biden's DOJ. It is all about election interference. Fulton
well,
County
state officials, I think, are going to go after her, and I think she's going to end up losing her job and be charged. I think in the end this is going to come out well for Donald Trump, because I think the state's going to really go after her.
Well, yeah, Trump is, he is, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's a strategist. Trump is quite a strategist, and so I know what he's doing there. Fulton County Dirty District Attorney Fannie Willis had brought charges against the actual legitimate president of these United States. Donald Trump is the actual legitimate president. He's my president. He is the legitimate president of this country. And Brett Baer, anyone and everyone that says that he lost that election, the election wasn't stolen, is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in him. Brett Baer, anyone and everyone that says that Donald Trump lost that election and the election was not stolen is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in him. And Joe, you know, what an amazing thing. We saw, when you see a Trump train's 90 miles long, when you see people gathering, when you see Trump going out, drawing crowds of 65, 70,000 people, and then you see Joe Biden drawing crowds of 12 people, it tells you right there. But, you know, again, the fake news media told the people in America, you're really stupid, and you'll believe us because our job is to tell you what to believe and why you believe it, and you people have been dumbed down. And a whole lot of them said, all right, we'll believe it because we've been dumbed down. But you have to be a complete fool to have seen what was taking place, to seeing 50, 60,000 people coming out for Trump, waiting all day, all of that, and then to believe that he lost. By the way, when you saw trucks unloading boxes, and I saw there in Detroit how the truck come up, box truck, unloaded box after thousands and thousands of ballots on the box that said Joe Biden ballots. And it actually just said Biden ballots. The corruption was unbelievable. And anyone and everyone that says that's not true is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in them. And so bond is set at $200,000. So
I'm
there
just thinking, you know, we told people way back when Biden was a senator, this man has lied from day one. I've got an article somewhere with 6 or 7 pages, and it's all the lies that he's told. He stands up, tells these lies, tells these stories, does the dumbest things. Like when he went to Hawaii, he did I watched a film of him. They were asking him if he wanted a drink of water, and he kind of stood there looking funny and didn't answer, didn't know what. They kind of had to shuffle him off, over here, sir, go this way. I mean, he totally lost it for a few moments. And while he's there, he made 3 big goose. He came, they were one of the handlers and one of the dogs that finds the cadaver dogs. He's making jokes about, oh, man, that, you know, hey, you guys catch the boots out here, and he's making jokes about that. Some hot ground, man.
Joe, we're up against a hot, hard break, so we're going to have to break away. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.